Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Homestead Challenge podcast. I just want to first say I am so sorry that I skipped an episode. This was my first ever skipped episode, and it was my fault. I should have been prepared, and I wasn't. It has been a busy time, like I'm sure it is for all of you. May is a little bit, just a little nuts. We had my son's last day of preschool for the year, and my husband is getting geared up to actually leave again for a little while. So just a lot of family stuff going on, trying to spend as much time together as possible. And I'm not going to lie, I also took on too many garden projects that I wanted my husband to help me with before he left. And so we've been spending a lot of time out there, totally my fault. But I am back today, and I want to talk about the pressure of planting a totally native garden. Welcome to the Homestead Challenge podcast, where we will finally figure out how to make homesteading work in this modern world. I'm your host, Brittany, kind of crunchy mom and fellow modern homesteader. I've walked the path you're on, navigating burnout, overwhelm, information overload, serious lack of time, and uncertainty of where to even start. But I've also discovered a way to integrate homesteading into my modern busy life. If you're itching to kick off your homesteading journey on your terms, you're in the right spot. In each episode of this podcast, I'll be dishing out quick and straightforward homesteading tips, sharing home management systems, and providing modern solutions that fit seamlessly into your suburban lifestyle. Ready to turn your homesteading goals into a reality? Join me, and together we'll navigate the world of homesteading in a way that suits our lives. So grab that sourdough starter from the back of your fridge, girl. It's time to rise. I have been hearing this so much on Instagram. I don't know if it's just the people that I follow, but I feel like if you're new here, hi, I really like all really great crunchy things in moderation. And I don't like to be fussy about it, and I don't like to bother others about it. I am kind of against the eco-police. While I think it's great to educate people on things, hence why I'm here and talking about these things, I don't like the eco-people that are up on a high horse and get all mad when your garden is not completely native. So hopefully that's none of you listening. I'm sorry if it is, but I think there's a great balancing act that we can create, and that's what I want to talk about today. So if you are here and you're into homesteading or into more natural living, you probably are already familiar with some of the benefits of planting native, which I think we can all agree is a great thing. We have the environmental benefits, supporting our local climates and ecosystems, supporting local wildlife and pollinators, and kind of a happy benefit of them as well is that it often adds reduced maintenance to your garden. So native plants require less water, no fertilizers, no pesticides needed. They can also help. I mean, a lot of them are, it's hard to decide what's a weed and not a weed, right? So some of them look like weeds and some of them are beautiful weeds. There's a happy mix there. I think what I have decided is that a weed is anything that you don't want and not a weed is what you do want. That's kind of the way I'm going to define it from here on out. But the native plants can often help get rid of the weeds that you don't want, especially some invasives. Some invasives not. So it's important to not have those things, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But we know that these plants are all super great for our environment, and I absolutely 100% highly, highly recommend that you look into what native plants are in your area and add them into your gardenscape. I have done this, and honestly, I haven't done it as much as I had hoped this year, and it's really all a long game, everybody. Never feel bad. If you're looking, of course, on the internet, maybe it's just me. Am I the only one here who falls into the comparison trap online? I have really worked towards contentment, especially in the last few years, and I feel like I've truly found it with my family. Of course, I'm content with my husband and my children. I'm content with my little house. But sometimes, I don't know, I must just have garden envy. And then there's just a few things that tend to get me on the Instagrams. So let me know if that is you too. But it's really just a complicated place to be, because what's native in one area that you're seeing on Instagram, first of all, might not be native in your area, and vice versa. You might have something that is native in your area that somebody's like, well, that's not native in my area, and so forth. So don't follow any social media trends on this. It's going to be really important to look what is in your area. So it's kind of hard to find. If you're just going to go to like one of the big box stores, you might see something that says native for pollinators. There's a lot of things that are for pollinators, but they aren't necessarily native. I'm not saying those are a bad thing. We will talk about that. But it's just really hard to decipher what's true and what's not. There's wildflower mixes that are certainly not native, or just like might not be the best option. There could be better options for you. So I found there's a website called homegrownnationalpark.org. And what's really cool about this website is not only does it list all things that are native in your area by your state, but it also lists local nurseries to you where you can find these things. And I am just going to be super honest, guys. I have not been to a native nursery in my area. And there's one that's like probably 20 minutes away, maybe a little farther, maybe 30. I feel shame. I have bought native plants that are on the list from other nurseries, but I have not gone to these specific nurseries, which I think would be a really cool thing to do. I am running out of room in my garden this year. The cool thing about a lot of the natives, well, pretty much all of them, is that they're perennials. So you plant them once and you won't have to plant them again and again and again. But the thing about a lot of perennials, if you're not buying them from seed, is that they can be more expensive. So I've been trying to put a lot of perennials into my garden this year, but I'm kind of tapped out, guys, on space and on the finances for the garden. So that being said, a lot of natives can also easily be planted from seed, which is going to be way cheaper. It just depends on the patience that you have and the look you're going for. I have done a mix of both in my garden. There's certain things that I have so many random seeds thrown throughout my garden. Right now, it looks like there's a bunch of blank spots, but I'm pretty sure in the next month, it's going to be super full, I hope. So a lot of those natives are coming for me from seed, but I did find a few larger natives to plant, which is really exciting. So that way they can already start to do their thing, attract the pollinators, and add a little interest to my garden right now, because otherwise it would be looking pretty bare. But that pressure of purity is just so frustrating to me. So on Instagram, I've seen several different reels where people are fighting about these plants. And it's so silly. Guys, if you're trying to make a vegetable garden, almost none of these things are going to be native to your area. I am not an expert on this, so I don't know, but I'm almost sure that none of the food items that I'm growing are native. So do with that what you will, but maybe there's like types of food that are, but I'm guessing the varieties that I've chosen to plant are not. And there can also be some benefits of actually planting non-natives, the main one being aesthetics. And you know what? It's okay to want a pretty garden. It's okay to want pretty flowers that are not native to your area. And oftentimes, this is kind of what I did this year, is those super pretty flowers, I just bought as annuals. So that's really kind of the key to finding this balance, is trying your hardest to make a lot of your perennials, not necessarily all of them, be your natives, and then add in some color and fun and whatever you want with those annuals. The thing that's good about annuals, especially if they're not native, is that they're not going to reproduce year after year. They're not going to make their way elsewhere and crowd out any of the local environment. While they're not necessarily supporting your local environment, they're not going to severely harm it like invasive species would. So I actually do have quite a few invasive species on my property. When we moved in, they were all here. I have a little, I don't want to call it a woodland area, but there's trees and a little forest behind my yard, and I'm actually close to a larger park. And in the area behind my house, there are a lot of invasive species. Some of them I have removed, and some of them I have not. Some of them I plan to remove over time, and some of them I just simply am not going to. The ones that are easy to remove, like garlic mustard, I have been removing. There's some that are really, really hard to remove. My biggest fight, well, I have two probably. The biggest one is the English ivy. So this is super invasive, and I would not recommend planting this. I would recommend finding something that could better support your environment and not harm it, because we have English ivy that is sadly taking over. I have a beautiful pink dogwood tree. I'm sure that's not native. I have no idea, but it's beautiful, and it's completely being taken over by this English ivy, and I cannot keep it down, and it's actually grown into the bark. It was already there when we moved in like that. And also, it's overtaken an entire giant, very old oak tree in my back. I'm really hoping that it's actually my neighbor's tree. I'm not totally sure, because it's going to be very dangerous and very expensive if it does take out the tree completely. It's climbed all the way to the top, which is crazy. So those kind of things are the things that we really want to avoid. I also have, it's called Pachysandra, that's all over my front and my back. That is an invasive species as well. It hasn't really spread beyond my beds, though. Something that has kind of started to spread beyond my beds is the lily of the valley, which is really pretty. I'm not against it, and I don't plan on removing it anytime soon in the one bed that it's in, because it's pretty. It's taking up the space. It grows on its own. I don't need to do anything to it. I don't need to water it. And I just simply don't have the capacity or the money to change all of this right now. And I think that that's okay. Like I said, that one's kind of spreading, but not really. My goal with these kind of things that I'm not removing is just to make sure that it's not leaving my yard from what I can see and going into that woodland area in my backyard. But I mean, some of this is just impossible to combat. So if you can't, don't feel super bad about it. What I would say is just don't plant things that are super invasive. So your local to your state or your country probably has a list. Mine is on the Ohio Department of Natural Resources website. It has an invasive list. And also my local Metro Park system has an invasive list. So those are both super easy to find in my area. Just search for invasives in my local area and you should be able to find a couple lists. And just make sure you're not planting those things, really. I think that that's the best we can do. Remove what we can and, you know, over time, because there's absolutely no way that I could control everything in my yard, and I probably never will be able to, and that's completely okay. We just don't want to add on to the harm there. Except, so there's one plant that I didn't find on the Natural Resources website, but I did find on my local Metro Parks website that they recommend not planting, that I probably will plant, are daffodils. I was surprised to find these on the list because there's actually a local park, and I believe it's a metro park, that it's completely daffodils. I know that they were planted. It was like a whole history, cultural significance thing. When they were planted, they've been planted for many years, and they actually keep planting them in the area to add more every year. But anyways, I'm going to still probably plant some daffodils, but I'm going to think about it, and I'll probably try to do a little less daffodils, maybe some more tulips, alliums, that kind of thing for the spring. But I really think that just being aware of your surroundings, being aware what's in your own yard and what you can do at your own home is pretty cool. I think that that's a cool thing on its own. I mean, we can't control the environment as a whole, and we're never going to be able to control all of everybody else's yards, but we can really cultivate a pretty amazing space where we live. And I think that that's the most important thing here and the most important thing I want you to take away from this is that, yes, it's important to plant these native species, but it's also okay to enjoy your space. It's okay to know that you're not going to be able to control all of these things, especially in 1 year, 2 years, maybe 5 years or more, and that's okay as well. But all we're going to do is do what we can. So for me, what that means is that for now, I planted some natives, and every year, as I add a few more perennials to my garden, I will be adding in another native or two every year, and hopefully learning about the invasive species in my area using my PlantNet app and identifying those invasives. It's kind of fun too. A lot of invasives are actually medicinal. So like garlic mustard, you can use, I don't remember what you use it for. I should know that. I don't remember right now. But there's a lot of different uses for a lot of the invasives. So pull them out and use them if you want to. That's even cooler. So I urge you this week to use your PlantNet or similar app on your phone and identify some of those weeds in your yard and see if they are invasive. And I also would like you, if you could, to plant something native, whether that's just a seed packet or going to your local native nursery and finding a couple pre-established plants. I think that would be a really cool to-do list for everybody this May. So thank you so much for being patient with me as I skipped an episode last week. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad about it. I know that nobody cares but me, but still, that one hurt me. But please, if you can, leave a review on the podcast, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. It helps the show so much, and it helps us grow. And if you want to talk about native plants, come over to our Facebook community. You can just search the Homestead Challenge on Facebook and we will come up. There's a page, but then there's also a group. So you want to join the group? That's where we all chat. So come on over and talk to me about some native plants. All right, until next time, friends. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Homestead Challenge podcast. I hope our time together has empowered you to take meaningful steps on your homesteading journey. If you've enjoyed our conversation and found value in today's tips, please take a moment to leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to me and it helps others discover the podcast. Let's keep the conversation going. Connect with me on Instagram. You can find me at Brittany L. Gibson. The link is in the show notes. Share your favorite takeaways from the episode, ask questions, or suggest topics of what you'd like to hear in the future. For an even deeper dive into the homesteading community, join our Facebook group where other suburban homesteading mamas share their experiences, ask questions, and support each other on their unique homesteading journeys. Just search for the Homestead Challenge community on Facebook and request to join. Remember, every small step on your homesteading path is a victory. Whether you're nurturing plants on your windowsill or mastering the art of sourdough, you're making a difference. Keep at it. Until next time, let's watch our homesteads flourish together.